This is Religion Today with Martin Tanner, a weekly look at religion and spirituality here at home and around the world. Now, here's your host, Martin Tanner.
Welcome. This is Religion Today. I'm your host, Martin Tanner. I am very excited today to have in studio with me Dr. Ugo Perrigo, who has a PhD in genetics and biomolecular sciences, and he is here to talk to us about something that has been all the rage in literature and media for about the last 10 years, and that is Book of Mormon DNA issues. Welcome to Religion Today.
Thank you very much, and thank you for having me.
It's my absolute pleasure. For many of our listening audience, you will know this, but some others may not, that there have been, for a decade or so, articles off and on, publications, different things that have taken the position that the Book of Mormon cannot be true. Why? Because it's been definitively proven that there is no way, because of DNA evidence, that anyone from the Middle East could possibly be part of the Native American cultures genetically. It's just been proven. And so our purpose today is to sort of dispel those statements and myths and false conclusions that have been made. Why do you think some people have, maybe that's an unfair question, because then I would be asking you to speculate about why some other people have come to this conclusion. Let's just talk about some of the things that have been said. Hard, fast statements that DNA disproves the Book of Mormon. How would you approach a comment like that?
Well, the issue is that in the last two decades or so, there have been some advances with technology that has allowed scientists, including myself, to work on the DNA of different people around the world and understand something about ancient migrations and the relationship within different populations. Among these publications, there have been a number, in fact, of some of the first ones when these technologies became available, that focus on Native American origins and what the DNA evidence show from the results of this scientific publication was that it was very similar to that of Asian people. So there was an affinity, a relationship between the DNA of Native Americans, the majority of them, and that of Asians. So some individuals later on picked on that, individuals that were familiar with the Book of Mormon and the story of the Book of Mormon, which it teaches that people from the Old World, from the Middle East, arrived on boat to the American continent, and that they are among the ancestors of modern Native Americans. So the question became, well, if science said that the DNA is Asian and the Book of Mormon said that there were Israelites coming to the America and there is no DNA from Israelites, then the Book of Mormon must not be true. And that's been what some of the critics of the Mormon Church, and particularly those that were somehow involved with this type with issues, you know, like not liking the Book of Mormon for whatever reason, they decided to jump on it and make it a big deal out of it.
And they certainly have. And just by way of additional information, our guest today, Professor Perrigo, studied under Professor Antonio Tarroni, and he is, as I understand it, the world's expert.
One of them, absolutely. Yeah.
One of the world's experts on Native American genetics, which is quite amazing to me. And this is the person that you studied under to obtain your PhD.
Yes, and the story was that I actually, when I wanted to study population genetics, was more for to learn about some new technology and the general use of this technology in any populations. And he told me, well, why do you want to study with me then? Because my expertise is a particular type of technology, and specifically, I have a great expertise with Native Americans, and so you should do, you know, this type of work with me. And I was like, okay, you know, I just want to learn, you know. And so I learned a great deal about Native American genetics, thanks to him, not by my choice, but it's very helpful because I'm also familiar with the Book of Mormon context and the theology and the history of it. And so now I can take it from both accounts, both sides.
You gave an address, which I enjoyed yesterday at the Fair Conference. It was very well done, so thank you for that.
Thank you for coming and listening.
Absolutely. And one of the examples that you gave that I thought was instructive was about the Vikings and their presence in the New World.
Yes, the Viking himself, there is archaeological evidence that they settled for over 400 years in northern North America. They have villages, hundreds of people, hundreds of them that came out. There are accounts that describe their arrival that are found in records in northern Europe. And there are books written about them being here. And yet there is absolutely, as far as I know, not genetic evidence that they were ever here, that they intermingle or are mixed or married that with local natives. And I think that they may have done that, but the time frame is so short that perhaps you cannot discern the DNA of those Europeans that came before Christopher Columbus and those that came after. But this is, these are other details. I guess one of the most important thing I think that I want to make clear right away is this. Almost every single study that I'm aware of on Native American DNA has focused with the original peopling of the continent, with the original first entries. Scientists are concerned with knowing when Native American ancestors came to the America the first time, how did they come here, in how many waves they came here, which routes they follow to people that the Americas. And we're talking about tens of thousands of years ago. They're concerned with prehistory. They're concerned with these Paleo-Indians, not with recent small migration. So there are critics are using data that is being used to study and understand a specific problem, and they're applying to understand or resolve or identify something that is a completely different matter, a different time frame. And I think they're missing a little bit of point with them.
To use a horrible metaphor, it's a little bit like someone using a Chevrolet car manual to try to repair their bicycle or something.
I think you got it quite right, you know. And it's like, well, I cannot repair the bicycle, and means the manual is wrong or vice versa, you know. There is no bicycle because it's not in the manual.
No bicycle because it's not in the manual. And one of the other comments that you made that I thought was very, very instructive, if you don't mind me bringing it up today, was your own genetic background and your background from Italy.
My own genetics.
Yes, yeah. I thought that was a fascinating example.
Well, the point was this one. A lot of people are stressing out on the factor that if somebody is the ancestor of somebody else, then the DNA of the ancestor must be found in the descendants. And with the Book of Mormon issue, it's this one. It's like if these people came from the Middle East and they came to America, America's, in 600 BC, which is when Lehi and his family arrived, which is the main account, the main people in the Book of Mormon, was peopled by millions of indigenous people. I mean, there is evidence that there are this one. The Book of Mormon does not particularly talk about any other people living in the Americas, but you have to consider the Book of Mormon is a summary, it claims to be a summary of other accounts, so I think a lot of the details purposely did not make it into the account. But there is evidence by reading carefully the Book of Mormon that the population growth quite not follow a normal offspring, father to son type of growth. You know, there is definitely some hint in the Book of Mormon that there were other people here, but we know that from a population point of study.
Hold on. We'll get right back to that right after these messages. Stay tuned.
on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today. If you have a question or comment or would like to be in touch with me about this issue, send me an email. Send it to martinstanner@gmail.com. I will be happy to respond. Today, our guest is Ugo Perrigo. Dr. Perrigo has a PhD in genetics and biomolecular sciences, and he specializes in the specific issue that we're really talking about today, which, or at least related issues, which is about DNA and the Book of Mormon. There have been a lot of articles over the last 10 years which have claimed that it has been definitively concluded that the Book of Mormon account could not be true. And our guest here refutes that conclusion for a number of grounds. And forgive me for jumping at the end of our segment there and not giving you much time to finish that thought. But we were talking about what can be concluded and what cannot be concluded.
Yeah, you were asking about how I use an example from my own genealogy and my own genetics, and I was trying to make a point that if a small group of people arrive to the Americas and there are existing population in the Americas, which there were, and the Book of Mormon itself does not particularly exclude that possibility, that there existed other people here. In fact, we know there were millions of people that lived here for thousands of years, and this group of people from the Middle East arrived. Critics of the Book of Mormon would say, well, we need to find their DNA in the modern population. I say, well, it's probably very hard that you can find that, just because classic power force on population genetics is that of genetic drift, and which means that a certain lineage, certain DNA disappears over time, especially when a small group is assimilated by a large group. And when I talk about my own genealogy, I show that there is evidence on my paternal line genetically that I have an Asian affiliation. And yet when you look at the DNA as a whole, that doesn't show up. So I know there was an Asian ancestor, but the DNA shows that I'm 100% European. And this is a very simple thing that can happen. That's only within, more recent time. So when it takes even more time, then you probably don't see any of that DNA in the future.
The other statement that you made that I thought was just so right on the mark and so obvious after you said it at the FAIR conference was that we could be looking at Lehi's DNA and not know it. And we will never know it because we don't have any sample of Lehi's DNA to check on.
Yes, and the common statement, the common sentiment actually on DNA in the Americas can be summarized with a simple sentence. If it looks European or it looks old world, it must have come after the Europeans arrived in 1492. If it doesn't look European or from the old world, then it was here before. And they cannot make, there is no test, that there is no research design, I think, that can be developed, that can fine-tune old world DNA after Columbus and before Columbus within just a few hundred years or even a couple of millennia. You know, there will not be any difference between what you would have found in Americas and in the old world. And not knowing Lehi's DNA and assuming that we can identify in a population is the main problem here. What is that you're looking for? Tell me what is that you're looking for. So people say, why? I'm looking for typical Middle Eastern DNA. And ask them, what is the typical Middle Eastern DNA? Okay, is it what you see today? Is it what you saw at the time of Christ 2,000 years ago? What you saw before the Babylonian captivity, which was the time of Lehi? Because definitely the DNA of those people have changed over time. Can we know what it looked like 2,600 years ago? And would anyone from that place have the same DNA Therefore, you expect that everybody that would come to America would carry the DNA, or there could be different type of DNA, some more common, which is what you call typical DNA of the Middle East, and some more rare that would not be very typical, but would exclude Lehi and his family to be part of that and bring it here, and then you're not finding it, yet it's right under your nose, but you don't know it because you don't know what you're looking for.
And so whenever you see, if we could come to some sort of basic conclusions here, would it be fair to say that if someone sees a statement in a newspaper article or some other kind of article that says it has been definitively proven or it no. can be shown without any doubt that, and then it talks about Book of Mormon DNA, that, okay. that it just is suspect?
Okay, first of all, anyone that would say that is not anyone that has written a science paper on the Native American DNA, because the scientists that write about Native American DNA are very careful. They suggest conclusion, they suggest what they think they found, but they never say this is it, this is the last word, because otherwise we would not continue to publish on the subject if everything was already resolved. The other issue is that not knowing what Lehi's DNA is, anyone that would say DNA can be used to prove or disprove the Book of Mormon really doesn't know what it's talking about, because you don't have the DNA reference from these people to know if it's absent or present in the America. And if you find evidence of Old World DNA, how do you know that's Lehi? If you don't find it, well, how do you know that you're not looking at it and that's not his DNA? You know, you're missing. It's like going on a crime scene as a forensic researcher, and you have no DNA evidence on the crime scene. You only have the crime, but you're still going to collect DNA from everyone in a particular area, thinking, well, the perpetrator might live there. And then you have the DNA of all these people. How do you find the perpetrator without the very DNA you need from the crime scene, because he wasn't there? We're missing Lehi DNA. He's the perpetrator, you know? We don't know it. It's not missing in the America because it's not there. We're missing in the first place, so we cannot look for it in the Americas.
It would be a little bit like someone coming to you and saying, can you determine from my DNA whether I am so-and-so's great-great-great-great-great-grandson or granddaughter without
the reference point.
Absolutely. It would be impossible to
do. But that's not the point only. You know, there are so many factors that critics tend to exclude, and I think that's one of the strongest one is the fact that we are expecting that DNA from a small Israelite group would have survived within a large population of descendants from Asian populations. And every population geneticist will tell you that the chances that such DNA will survive in future generation will be close to zero.
The other comment that you made at your address is that, if I remember right, there were two or three DNA markers, if that's the right terminology, that are found among some populations of Native Americans that are Middle Eastern, but that does not conversely prove that somehow yes. that is Lehi's DNA.
It's about affinities we're talking here. Maybe people are not very familiar with the word affinity. Affinity means to have a similarity and a common origin. You know, like cousins will be affinity. You know, they're not descended from the same parents, but there is affinity. So the majority of Native Americans have a DNA that is similar to Asians, but it's not identical to Asians. Okay, now there are some examples in the America of DNA that has an affinity to the Old World. One of that is the one from the Great Lakes area, which is called the haplogroup X2, that has the closest association in the world will be from the Middle East. And also the most common Y chromosome, the paternal line in the America, has also an affinity from the Middle East. Is that evidence of Book of Mormon historicity? Well, we don't know, because we don't know Lehi's DNA.
It has been an absolute pleasure to have you here, Dr. Pettigo, a true expert on DNA. And you've settled some of the major issues about DNA, or at least some of the claims that have been made. Thank you for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me.
Thank you. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today. Join me again next week right here on KSL. And if you have questions, send them to me at martinstanner@gmail.com. I'll be with you next week.